This is F1 Debrief episode 79, A Certain Team Fluffed a Certain Pit Stop. Coming up this week, we talk night races in new places with old faces on the podium.
I have a new plan for this weekend.
Really?
Yeah, I've been learning a lot about diets from the driver's doctors. Because you know it's a night race.
Yep.
And there's been a lot of talk about how drivers are going to handle their meals and how they're going to cope with driving late at night.
Yes.
So I've been obviously reading up and quite interested in this subject.
They've been adjusting their time zones and things.
Yeah. And something one of the Honda doctors said was that once you had a big meal, it's basically impossible to generate any kind of adrenaline at all.
Right.
So they
just say full up and
absolutely
sleepy.
And because I'm literally so pumped up after the weekend, we've had such an exciting weekend of racing, lovely new venue, because I'm totally hyped and I'm usually overhyped at the best of times.
Yeah.
We're starting the show on a big full stomachs.
Right, I see.
As per,
that's why I made you a big dinner.
Doing the opposite of what all the drivers have been doing this weekend in order to slow us down.
So that you wouldn't waffle your way through the podcast.
Something like that, yeah.
Good week, bad week.
It's been a good week for David Croft because he's been confirmed as a pundit on BBC's Inside Sport. It's a weekly magazine show. We think he won't be there every week, but it likely means that the BBC will have rights to Formula One footage outside the race coverage.
That is quite exciting.
It's important.
I do wonder if they might not just be using the footage that we use.
Oh.
The rights free, away from the racetrack that Bernie doesn't have to sanction. They could easily make some documentaries around that stuff.
Well, that's less important.
Yeah. It'll still be well edited. It'll still be worth watching, but it may not be quite as exciting as maybe we're thinking.
It's been a bad week for drivers because at Singapore, we can see their eyes. They used a clearer form of visor to help with the lighting and the glare and stuff. And that means we could, if we wanted to, watch them blink. I found it only really interesting for a second or two, just to see their eyes popped out on stalks.
Liked it myself. I wish it was a sporting regulation that they couldn't use visors to cover themselves and
really?
Hide. Yeah, I thought it was a new insight and it made that reverse camera angle more worthwhile. Because you got to see more than if, you know, it's just looking into a visor.
But it also meant that they used that reverse camera angle too much. Usually you only see it a couple of times. This time we saw it constantly. It's been a good week for Abu Dhabi because they've signed up Richard Cregan of Toyota fame. I think a couple of weeks ago we talked about him leaving Toyota and wondered what he would do. But what he's actually going to do there, we don't know.
No, but it sounds like there's an awful lot of exciting things going on in Abu Dhabi because Bernie's mate, who used to run Paul Ricard High Performance Test Track.
Yeah. Has he gone there as well?
He went earlier in the year. Right. Gave up working at Paul Ricard and he's gone out there. So whatever's going on in Yas Island sounds very exciting.
Something's going down.
Hmm.
It's been a bad week for basically everyone as McLaren's appeal was rejected for being inadmissible. Bad for the fans, bad for the FIA, bad for McLaren. The reason I'm putting it into Good Week, Bad Week and not a news story in its own right is because I've heard enough about appeals and precedents to last me a lifetime.
Are you moving on? You're drawing a line under
this. I think
it's
time to move on to
had enough.
To
we
new things.
We did cover this in the blog and we had an awesome amount of response. Lots of good feedback, lots of good criticism and opinions already levied there. So we'll probably just leave it in the blog if anyone has any other thoughts on that. And enough is enough. Let's go racing.
Qualifying.
Lots of good stuff happened in qualifying, obviously. But before that, I just wanted to talk about Trulli driving the wrong way around the circuit.
Yes. For anybody who didn't catch this, he performed a lethal manoeuvre after spinning the car just past the entrance of the pit lane and decided, as he was facing the wrong way and his lap was shot, his tyres were done.
Yeah.
He decided he'd drive the wrong way up the racetrack, then do a U-turn and head into the pit lane. Therefore, he broke two rules. Firstly, he drove the wrong way around a racetrack. Highly dangerous. Not recommended.
Yep.
Then he crossed the white safety line to take a shortcut into the pit lane. I'm surprised that he was allowed to race this weekend. Personally, that should have been at least a one race, if not a two race ban, because you do not want cars going the wrong way up a racetrack.
No, he got a fine and a reprimand, but nothing that actually affected the race. And I mean, you always tend to think that just a bit of a money fine, they can afford it. It doesn't matter that much to them.
Yeah.
Whereas if you actually affect what happens in the race.
Yeah, I don't think the fine was a big enough deterrent to stop you from doing it again.
No.
Especially someone like Kimby, who's got loads of money and flagrant disregard for the rules. I'm sure if that happens to him, he'd be just as
inclined. You know what? I can't imagine that Kimby would drive the wrong way around a racetrack, though. I think
well,
he's a bit more sensible
yes.
than that.
Truly stupid.
On the subject of Toyota, though, they did do something right because their pit board was flashing.
Fancy.
Yeah.
They did a bit of research. I know they did some night testing in Valencia. They said it was promo work, but I wouldn't be surprised if they weren't doing some night testing. And they turned up with a pitch board that flashed. Now, it wasn't, obviously, the flashing made a significant difference because it was catching the driver's eye. It wasn't just another light to look at. I think they were the only team to do that. And hats off to them, because that was a great invention, very unique. And I'm sure other teams will be copying it this time next year.
Yeah, because later in the weekend, actually in the race, Alonso was on the radio to his team saying, well, where am I? Because I can't read the pit board.
Yes, read it, read out my times, because literally it's too dark to see the pit board. So Renault got it wrong, Toyota got it right.
It took the drivers a while to get used to the track. And we saw quite a lot of offs and people hitting the walls.
Yep.
The safety barriers, some of those safety barriers are really cool.
You liked the safety barriers?
I liked it because it was like this big rubber thing full
big
of water.
Yeah.
And it looked really flimsy, but actually when they crashed into it, it did the job.
Yeah, I think there's two layers. There's an outer layer, which is it's the one that compresses and it's very soft. And then behind it are big buckets of water. There is one downside, and that every time a car crashed, these things spilled additional water onto the track because they're designed to overflow.
Yeah.
So they're not sealed. Presumably that's how they work. So when they compress, the water gets pushed up in the air. At one point, Massa got soaked.
Yeah.
It landed on his head.
And it made the track a bit wet.
It does make the track dangerous, more dangerous. And then presumably it increases the likelihood of crashes. So I'm not too sure if it doesn't make the situation worse. However, in terms of providing a safety barrier in a very limited location, it's wonderful.
Not seen it anywhere else before, so it was interesting.
Yeah, like that.
Even though the barriers were quite thin, there still wasn't much space in the runoff areas and things. And both Ferraris struggled to get round once they'd gone off.
This, didn't seem to affect any other cars. But whenever Massa and Kimi ended up down the escape road, they appeared to struggle to get back out.
To turn round.
Everybody else managed to do a 180, just spin the car around and off they went again. For some reason, Massa made a huge hash of it, took three attempts before he finally got it right. And then Kimi made an even worse job when he just got stuck.
Yeah, he couldn't carry on.
Couldn't do a spin, didn't do a three-point turn, just turned the engine off and got out of the car.
Do they have like a much wider turning circle than everyone else or something?
I don't know. It's very weird. Wonder if the centre of gravity is different for that car from everybody else's. They're not confident to spin it in any way, shape or form. Well, it could be the drivers, I guess. Just to amend my criticism and statement there, Kathy in the live comments has just pointed out that Kimi had lost his gears at that point, so possibly he couldn't find reverse and therefore he was struggling. So maybe Kimi wasn't entirely at fault, but Massa definitely struggled to spin that car. He couldn't get any mileage out of a 180 and he had to find reverse and have another go.
Fisichella crashed into the wall in free practice 3 and the mechanics did a really good job to get him going again.
They cut it fine.
5 minutes to spare in quali 1.
Yes.
So they definitely had their work cut out.
They sent him out.
Yep. Fisichella took to the track.
Yeah.
And then he crashed into the wall. Oh, gutted.
Yeah. That team didn't need that, did they? I mean, he wasn't going to get through to Q2. It wasn't, it was a valiant effort on their part.
Yeah.
And it's a shame it ended the way it did. He said it was a puncture and he ended up into another barrier. Lost his nose again.
And they had to rebuild it again.
It was less damage the second time and they had a whole day to do it. But he did start from the pit lane in the race. So maybe there was more damage than we were led to believe in the first place.
I thought that qualifying was just going to plan, the normal people were getting through and not getting through. But Hamilton almost didn't make it through to the top 10.
For the second race in a row.
Yeah, well, last race was because of the rain.
Yeah.
It was all timed a bit wrong.
Yeah, this time was partly traffic, partly mistake.
Yeah.
Didn't have enough
time. He had a
couple
of bad laps.
Yeah. It was nail-biting stuff, actually, keeping us on the edge of our seats.
Yeah, it was really good. Actually, I think that Hamilton, if he's not paid a bonus for being entertaining,
yes.
I think he should be.
For keeping us on the edge of our seats,
because it was good. Usually he'd just be,
did make Q2 very exciting.
Yeah.
But the thing is, again, his job is only to get through. He doesn't have to win it.
He didn't.
No, but I do wonder if he was going for an aggressive strategy based on one lap. I mean, he had enough time to do two laps. He didn't have the space to get the second lap in because he met David Coulthard on the way. And I just think they could have played it slightly more cautiously.
Alonso didn't get through, though. He struggled.
God, was he disappointed.
Yeah, he looked really angry.
And afterwards, very, very upset and not optimistic at all about the race weekend. I think he thought he was on for a great qualifying position, if not front row, because the car was handling amazingly well. For the first time this season, car was hooked up.
Still, Hamilton did make it through, and there was a nail-biting finish between him and Massa. And right at the last minute, Massa pulled out one of those stunning laps.
A hell of a lap.
Yeah, it was like half a second faster.
Almost lap of the year?
I don't know.
Great lap. Was it 6/10 ahead of his nearest rival? At which point we were thinking, God, he's light.
He's got to be really light.
They've gone really, really aggressive on that strategy. This is not going to work out for them. It didn't look like come the race that he was light. So hats off to the guy. That was a great lap.
I did just say that I thought qualifying was going as normal, but actually Nakajima wasn't out in the first session. And do you know what? He wasn't out in the second session either.
He made it through to Q3.
He did.
Oh my God.
First time ever.
That's just so impressive.
I know. I don't know what changed really.
The car goes well at these kind of circuits for whatever reason. And I believe they suspected that might be the case before they arrived. And they pulled out all the stops necessary to make sure that they got themselves into the top 10. So
both cars.
Congratulations to Williams. It was Frank's last race of the year because he's not going to the flyaways. And I bet that put a smile on his face.
Wasn't this a flyaway?
It was a flyaway. Sorry. Yes, he doesn't normally go to the traditional flyaways. This is a new one. It's the inaugural.
Everyone wanted to be at Singapore.
You don't want to miss this one, do you? Even Damon Hill was there. And goodness knows why, but he was wandering around the paddock, having a look around, maybe wishing that actually he was in charge of that circuit and not Silverstone.
You just wait, he'll be off to Abu Dhabi next. We have to take a short break now, but we'll be back with our thoughts from the race and a fantasy races update. Did you know that Side Podcast puts out two versions of this show? One is an MP3 file playable on almost all music players. The other we call the Enhanced Podcast. This works best on iPods, iTunes, and other Apple solutions and includes images, chapters for quick navigation, and links to the stuff we're talking about. Visit sidepodcast.com/feeds for more information.
I have a question for all the people joining us in the live comments, and it's a very important question because I'm a little bit confused as to what tyre did Nico Rosberg start the race on. Autosport are telling me that he started on the softer of the two tyres,
right.
But I thought only Alonso did that.
I was under the impression that it was just Alonso that started on the soft tyre and everyone else was on the hard tyre.
Cathy did upload some high resolution videos, which mm-hmm. I've checked, and I couldn't really tell from those what he was running. And I just wondered if anybody had any other footage or any photographs of knowing exactly what he started on, because I'm slightly suspicious of the tyre strategies they've written down. Let me just find the sheet of paper that says it on there. What Autosport claiming he did, he started on the super soft, but he also finished on that tyre. And
That seems like an odd decision.
Yeah. I don't know why he would have done that. I can't actually find
We've got various commenters in the live comments. Some are saying softs and some are saying hards, which isn't much help.
That's a bit indecisive.
I do like Steve in the UK's comment, though. He said, I know he was on the round ones, which is very helpful. That's a good one.
That's really good. Yeah, according to Autosport, this was Nico Rosberg's strategy. It says he went super soft, 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 super soft. Now, I'm assuming he didn't do four stops. He did one drive-through. So, therefore, I'm assuming two of those softs they're calling one of those drive-through.
Right, yes.
Which is weird to start with. I don't know why he would have started on the least favourable tyre and finished also on the least favourable
tyre. You wouldn't use it twice if you had the choice.
Especially when your teammate in a similar car didn't choose to do that. So I just wondered if I can get some confirmation on Autosport wrong, or did he do something very cool with his strategy?
Renault went aggressive with their strategy, having a very poor qualifying session, but they did seem to change their strategy about six times during the race.
It started as a three-stopper.
Yeah.
And this was Alonso.
Yeah, because I think Alonso said we started with a three-stopper and then we thought about a one-stopper, but actually we settled on two-stopper.
Right.
Are there any other options? I think they tried everything they could.
They were a little bit indecisive. It seemed to work for them, though. Alonso went very aggressive at the start. He obviously did pick the softer of the two tyres. Made a great start. Made up three, maybe four places within the first couple of laps, which basically made his race from there, didn't it?
He was the first person to come in as well on lap 12.
Yes, an early stop.
Mm.
That's how aggressive they were
going. Quite light, presumably.
Worked out very well, though, because two laps later, Alonso's teammate, coincidentally, binned it and brought out the safety car, which threw the entire race into confusion but played right into Alonso's hands.
You say coincidentally, like you don't believe it.
I don't know. Is there any chance that Renault made the guy work too hard in the hope that he might crash it? Would they honestly maybe wreck another car in order to aid one?
They can't possibly have planned that.
I don't know. Didn't he have something to say on the subject afterwards?
PK's post-race quotes say, from the start of the race, things were complicated and I had a lot of graining and the situation got worse and worse. The team asked me to push, which I tried to do, and finally I lost the rear of my car. I hit the wall heavily, but I'm okay. I am disappointed with my race, but obviously very happy for the team this evening.
So
they did ask him to push and he just couldn't do it.
Okay.
It doesn't mean that, you know, they asked him to push it into the wall.
No, fair enough. And I'm sure they asked him to push a lot anyway. So maybe that's been a little bit unfair. It just seemed like a massive coincidence that he was the guy to bring out the safety car. I do wonder if really that was fair on them to make him push too hard. I mean, you know, the guy struggles a lot with Formula One in his debut season, and it's a street track. It's bumpy. It's rough. You know, he was one of the guys who was picked out in the live comments as most likely to crash first.
And he did.
And pushing him harder and harder may not be the wisest thing to do.
I feel sorry for him, though, because in the rest of the quotes, no one else even mentions him.
Right.
Like Pat Simmons and Flavio.
They're all like, happy for Alonso.
Yeah, yay, we won, which is understandable.
Yeah.
Not a mention of Piquet at all.
That is a bit of a shame.
I feel sorry for him.
Just following on from the previous conversation, in the live comments, we have got confirmation that Autosport are correct. And Nico did, in fact, start on the same tyre as Alonso, which means he chose a very peculiar strategy.
So he went soft tyre, then hard tyre, then soft tyre.
Yeah.
That seems odd.
Favorable tyre. I mean, Alonso at the end of the race was on the hard tyre and he pulled away from Nico without, you know, in the blink of an eye.
Yeah.
So I don't know why he just decided to make that decision. Maybe the car was just working better on those tyres.
Maybe they made a mistake because they did have a lot of pit stops going on.
It was a bit crazy in that pit lane. Maybe that's what happened. But thank you to the live commenters for confirming that. And it's always handy to have them on hand to confirm our suspicions or to shoot us down when we're incorrect. Well,
talking of pit stops, Massa.
Yeah.
That was a pit stop and a half, wasn't it?
For the first time this year, Ferrari was seen screwing up with the refueling rig. It was Kimi in Valencia.
Yep.
And there was Massa here. Something not right with their lighting system. They keep saying it's a people problem.
Yeah,
the technology is fine. The people pressing the buttons aren't. So why didn't they replace the people pressing the buttons in Valencia already?
Well, that's a good question, because the lights went green, so it wasn't Massa's fault.
No.
The light was green and he went.
Massa was having a stunning day. Qualifying, we've already said.
Yeah.
A wonderful, wonderful lap
really
from Massa.
Fast.
He was pulling away from Hamilton like he was on rails. Hamilton, I mean, he did manage to stabilise the gap in the end, but at the start, he had the race in his pocket. Absolutely fine. He was commanding the race and he did everything right. The safety car scuppered his strategy a little bit, and then his team ruined his race.
It does show that it's a team game, though. You know, if your team's not working,
well,
a driver
true.
Can do everything he possibly can,
yeah.
But if you don't have the team behind you, then it doesn't
back
work.
You up. That's very true, and it does highlight that.
It is unusual, though, because Ferrari used to be flawless in their pit stops, and now it's just non-stop chaos. So many incidents with the pit stops.
Race after race. What's going to happen in Fuji? I can't wait. They didn't do a great job last year in Fuji by starting on the wrong tyres. And then having to come in several times and nearly getting banned for making the wrong decision. So it's all going from bad to worse, and you don't rate their chances for the rest of the season, do you? Unless they can pull it together very suddenly. Didn't Rob basically admit they were just hopeless?
He said useless.
Useless.
I think the word was useless.
Today, we were useless.
Yeah. And it's true.
The other person that was hindered by the safety car, I thought, was Kimi, because he had to be stacked behind Massa. And I don't think... Well, I know that it didn't help his strategy, and I think it may have ruined his race entirely. I thought he might have been on to a good finish from where he was.
I think you're wrong.
Why?
because I don't think he was stuck. I don't think he was stuck there for that long.
Okay.
Momentarily stacked behind Massa, yeah, fair enough. He maybe lost a couple of seconds, I don't know. Nothing too major. But Massa was gone, and they were already working on Kimi. So, you know, they were sorting out Massa while they still worked on Kimi.
I think the team were slightly shocked by what happened to their
Yeah, but they were straight on it. You could see.
Yeah.
And he was running in fifth, I think, wasn't he, when
he was hit,
binned
he was
it in the wall.
Later on in the race.
Yeah, so it couldn't have hurt him that much if he was fifth.
No, that's true, I guess. But third behind Hamilton and Massa, I thought he was going very well. He got put in a faster lap at the beginning of the race, when normally he waits till lap 30 or 40.
He did wake up early, didn't he?
Like he was pulling his finger out, and it looked like he was up for a race. Safety car came out at the wrong time. I thought he'd be heavier than the two guys in front of him, and I thought it messed up his race. And sadly, he messed up his championship, because pretty much he's out of it now, isn't he? There's no coming back from where he is.
I think he has to make up 28 points.
Out of a possible
30.
Which relies on Lewis Hamilton.
It might be 27, but
right.
Yeah.
Lewis Hamilton only scoring 3 points in three races.
Yeah.
Well, maybe. I mean, he didn't score any in the last two last year, but that's asking a lot for that to happen.
Mathematically
again.
Possible, very unlikely. There was another thing that happened in the pit lane. Coulthard had the same sort of problem. I don't know whether the fuel rig got stuck or exactly what happened there.
Right, the lollipop man in this instance lifted and he jumped forward.
Right, yeah. So he jumped forward too early, but he managed to stop.
Yes.
He put his foot on the brake.
Well, that's the thing with Massa.
Yeah.
He put his foot down and just kept going.
He had no idea that the rig was still attached.
No,
he
just
kept going.
You would feel it and be able to hit the brakes. Maybe his reactions were too slow. Maybe he wasn't. I don't know. Maybe he just sees that green light and he's just off. But there was no attempt until he got to the end of the pit lane to stop.
And why did he wait until right at the end of the pit lane to stop? Because he must have realised by then.
I think because, well, what he would have had to pull in front of someone else's garage. That would have been fair on them.
But it would have meant the Ferrari men didn't have to run so far. Bless him. Run!
I can't imagine Honda being too pleased if Massa pulled up in their pit lane.
No, that's true.
They might have pulled it out for him, though, just to clear the box.
Yeah,
it might have worth it. It might have been worth a try.
Yeah.
Just turn up in the BMW garage. See what they do.
They'd probably be better than their own pit crew. At the beginning of the race, there was a bit of a trilly train because he was somewhere in the middle of the pack holding everyone up except those at the front who were pulling away.
Yeah.
And we come to expect these sort of things.
Yes.
But then because of the safety car madness, at one point, Trilly was leading the race. That's the ultimate Trilly train.
He was holding up and he was genuinely holding up.
Yes.
17 cars.
He actually was going too slowly.
Yes. Not a stellar outing from that guy. Glock had the better of him for most, well, for all of the weekend, as far as I recall. I don't remember him being in front at any point. And
he retired in the end.
Every point he was on the track, he was slower than the people behind him. He was just more of an annoyance than anything else.
Trilly had to retire for gearbox issues.
Yeah.
And someone else who stopped was Barrichello, who had some kind of engine hydraulics problem.
I loved this bit of the race.
Was that your favourite bit?
I really thought that the cameraman and the director just timed it perfectly. Barrichello got out of his car and he was walking past the fans on his way back to the paddock. And he had a moment of gratuitous kindness. And he decided he'd throw his sweaty balaclava into the crowd for one of them to catch.
Right.
It was a bit windy in Singapore. And so he threw it. It just sailed off into the river.
It went into the river. Aw. How embarrassing.
Yeah, he did.
he was laughing about it.
You would, wouldn't you?
You know.
But you know he's embarrassed.
Did you happen to see Kovalainen at all today?
I did.
There was a bit of a thing at the beginning with Kubica.
That's what I saw.
Yeah.
Yeah, Kubica shoved him off the track. Might have done a bit of damage.
Yeah.
Then Anonymous.
I think to the floor.
Right.
Kovalainen said.
Okay.
But did you see him after that?
Nope.
No. Where did he go?
I have no idea. I don't even know where. Can I check the notes? Where did he finish? I don't know what he was up to. No stellar performance from Kovalainen. Not for the first time. Didn't pick up the car and run with it. Didn't really show on the TVs. Didn't see him overtake anyone. Didn't see him do anything spectacular. His race might have been stuffed. Presumably he stacked behind Lewis, but we didn't see it.
No.
Very anonymous, very nondescript, and not a lot to say about him, really.
But Vettel also had an anonymous day. Didn't see much of him either, really. And he managed to finish fifth.
Well, he's carrying on the form.
Yeah.
He's not lost that. That Monza form wasn't a complete fluke. He got into the top 10 in qualifying, which was commendable. And then he finished fifth, which was very good. But didn't see him either. No, not very much. I saw a little bit more of him on TV than I did of Kovalainen, but not a heck of a lot.
Toyota did try to protest against a Toro Rosso pit stop. They said that Vettel was let out in front of Glock.
Okay.
But the stewards just threw that out.
Right.
But it's weird, though, because they didn't really have anything to gain from that because Toro Rosso were behind them in the race and behind them. They were behind them in the championship, so
right.
It seemed a bit odd.
Maybe they fear them for the upcoming races.
Well, they think that they will beat them.
Yeah, they might be actually genuinely concerned that Toro Rosso are now a championship in a championship position that might threaten Toyota's position, which is that's an interesting way of looking at it. I do wonder how strong are Toro Rosso really?
Quite strong. Hamilton didn't have exactly an anonymous race, but he did keep his nose very clean when everyone else around him was losing their head, having incidents. He just kept on going.
I think he's changed his attitude a little bit.
Really?
Because I believe the Lewis Hamilton of past would have tried to beat Nico Rosberg and gone for second.
At the end.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He would have stood a better chance of fighting Alonso than Nico did. I'm surprised after the restart he didn't have a go. He looks like he's calmed down. He's thinking about the championship. He's playing the long game. He knew Massa was out of the points. And there was no reason to fight more than he had to, and he didn't. And that's the first time I recall him ever not fighting when he could have.
Especially because I imagine he must have been quite annoyed that Rosberg was even there in the first place, because Nico had the penalty and everything and started behind him.
Yes. It was a great drive from Nico.
To
get over that penalty and to still end up in front of Hamilton.
Yeah, but Hamilton would have been annoyed about that because he was keeping his own, you know, he was having a clean race.
Yep.
Keeping his own nose clean.
His pit crew didn't mess up.
No, and he still only managed third. I imagine he was quite annoyed. Once we had the first safety car, really after that, it was all about Alonso, wasn't it?
Yeah, he was in the right position. It was just a question of how long it would take the other drivers in front of him to peel off and take their respective stops.
Yeah.
And penalties. Once he was in clean air, he pulled out a huge margin for the second safety car.
Came super and squandered fast, it. Really. Yeah.
His car was handling so well. He was completely hooked up. And apparently Renault bought a new wing to the race this weekend.
Pat Simmons said, "We will have the final updates for the R28 in Singapore, including the new front wing. This really is the end of the updates, other than any changes that may be made for reliability."
Yes.
So yes, they brought a new wing and that's it.
Yes.
But it seems to have worked.
I would be really annoyed if I was Alonso and they just discovered that their front wing of old was rubbish. And this new front wing has solved all of the handling problems. And now the car's great with just four races to go.
So like if he gets to Fuji and does really well again, he's going to go around and punch them in the face.
Gets to China, you know, he's on the podium and then gets to Brazil and then he wins it. And you feel like, oh my goodness.
It was just the front wing.
Yeah. Now we've sorted it.
Although, I mean, did Piquet get the front wing as well? Because his handling wasn't any better.
He should have. Yeah, we should have both got the same front wing. He didn't fare any better at all. But the car just looked hooked up. For the first time, it didn't look a handful. And Alonso made the best of it. And he was on the right tyres at the end because obviously he got rid of his rubbishy tyres at the beginning. He was able to run the preferred tyre right the way to the end of the race, and that helped him pull out another gap after the second safety car situation, which he did really well. He pulled away from Nico. He never looked back. He was never challenged. His lead was never under threat. And he just pulled out a stunning race.
It was good to hear the French national anthem on the podium again.
Yes.
Not since 2006.
Was that the last time Alonso was up there?
I believe so.
It just sounded right, didn't it?
It did sound good, yeah.
The overalls were the wrong colour. That was the only thing that disappointed me. It should have been blue and yellow. The ING just didn't quite look right, the branding. But the national anthem was right. The guy was, the right man was there. Alonso's back. Well, for one race.
ING should be really impressed though, because obviously they've been sponsoring Formula One for ages now. They've put lots of money in there. And it's only just coming back to them now. They finally got the win they needed.
I think they've been a good sponsor, Formula One, because they joined Renault at the time when they were just crowned the 2005 champions.
Yeah.
No, 2006 champions. And then, obviously, as soon as ING joined the team...
Bit of a slump.
Things went from bad to worse with Heike, first struggling to get a handle on the car, and then Piquet, also struggling to get a handle on the car. This is their first...
Well, Alonso hasn't been pulling out amazing results so far.
That's also true.
This is the first time it's really come together.
Yeah. They've been a great sponsor of Formula One. I think they've been very patient with the team, never really put undue pressure on them. And it all came good today and they deserved it. And it happens to be at a race that, you know, that they are the title sponsor of. I'm on the line now. We have a familiar voice to listen to the Side Podcast. It's Mr. Scott Woodwiss, and I believe the winner of today's Tremaining competition.
Uh-huh.
How does it feel to be a winner, Scott?
It feels brilliant. I like winning. So
Did you enjoy today's race?
I did, actually. It was very good. Night racing is a very nice change for Formula One.
It looked lovely, didn't it?
Yeah, but the circuit was brilliant. You look at the pictures and the way the light danced off the cars and everything. It was brilliant. The layout was pretty good. It was very bumpy, very challenging.
There was a lot of criticism of the bumps because the drivers were unhappy that they had to have the ride height so high and their cars were bottoming out. There was some suggestion that should be flattened and changed for next year. Would you agree with that, or would you rather it stay just as it is?
I think that the bumps give it some character. I think the bumps give it, you know, a sort of different sort of... It's sort of a Monaco feel to it because you get the bumps and you've got, like, the huge mounds of concrete and the circuit flows so well and it's got some challenging corners and some unique features and some great scenery. I think it's just a really nice circuit, and I don't think they should really make any changes because it's a really good circuit as it is now.
And any drivers impressed you with their car control over the weekend?
Oh, okay, just thinking back. Rosberg did very well today. He was very impressive. Even came back from a penalty to finish second, and I think Rosberg was... Sorry, I rephrase that. Martin was very right to give him driver of the day, despite Alonso's win, and credit to him because he drove a brilliant race as well. I mean, at one point it looked as though his race was over.
Do you think it was a bit of karma on the part of Massa to have lost 6 points to Hamilton after gaining 6 points as a result of the Spa incident?
I probably say that was sort of balanced out. You know, as he inherited 6 points, so he's now going to get 6 points taken away from him at a crucial point in the championship. As it was all falling to pieces around Ferrari, I think really it was a case of McLaren just to, you know, sit back and not really worry about anything. I mean, Massa was never really, after that incident, was never really going to challenge. He was at the back of the field. And then Kimi Kimi fluffed his chances when he put it in the wall. So really, it's been another weekend for Ferrari to forget. And I think that, as Kimi said, his championship challenge is pretty much over. It's going to take an absolute miracle for him to actually win the championship. But then you went ahead and won it in Brazil anyway. So I guess on that note, anything's possible.
On that note, Scott, we'll leave it. Thank you very much for calling.
No problem. Always a pleasure.
Always hope to speak to you soon.
Same here. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Bye-bye. And also, following on from Scott, we now have on the line Flipster. How's it going, mate?
It's pretty good.
Did you enjoy the racing today?
I don't think I've laughed so much at a race in a long time.
And you laugh because?
A certain team completely fluffed a certain pit stop.
They did, in the most spectacular way, didn't they?
Not the most spectacular. I think that goes to Benetton. But, yeah, it was pretty spectacular.
I'm assuming that you're not a Ferrari fan when you were laughing at those. Did you enjoy the Alonso? Did you enjoy Alonso's race, or were you rooting for Hamilton all the way?
I was just happy it wasn't Ferrari, to be honest.
You're not choosy.
No, not at all. No, Alonso drove superb race from 15th on the grid, I believe it was, and timed it perfectly with the pit stop and just got very, very lucky. But to be honest, how many drivers haven't been lucky in their careers at some point?
That's true. We've had a lot of good podiums this year, and there was another surprise podium. Nico has been on there once before. He was on the podium in Australia. It was Alonso's first time, and he made it straight to the top step. Were there, apart from the Ferrari having their issues, were there any other highlights from the race today?
I think Rosberg was definitely showing that he really should be in a better car than the Williams. All credit to him for staying loyal, but you know, if he actually wants to win something, he may have to change teams.
Do you think if you think Nico needs to move to another team other than Williams, can you see him going anywhere else? Where would you like to see him?
I'd like to see him at McLaren, just to get rid of Kovalainen, to be honest.
Yeah, he doesn't set the world alight is probably how I'd describe him. He did really well at the second half of last season in the Renault. He strangled that car and he brought it right to the front and put it in places where it shouldn't have been. He hasn't done the same thing with the McLaren in this latter half of the season, has he?
Either that or the McLaren really isn't as good a car as we all think it is, and Hamilton is just a driver.
It could well be. It didn't look that great a car today, either. In fact, yesterday in qualifying or today in the race, the McLaren didn't look as hooked up as it has done at previous races. Do you think it was the bumps it didn't like, or Ferrari made a step forward and countered McLaren's development on that front?
McLaren have normally been very good over the curbs and bumps and things like that. They've normally had a very good chassis to cope with that. As we've seen earlier in this year with Hamilton taking an entire curb underneath his car without even, you know, lifting off the throttle. But, yeah, there's just something about this track, whether it was just constant lumps, that it just couldn't cope with.
Do you think that status quo will continue for the rest of the season, or do you think McLaren, it will be advantage McLaren and Fuji?
If it rains, I can see McLaren walking that one. Their car just seems so much better in wet conditions.
So your money's on McLaren for the constructors and the driver's title this year?
If it's dry, I think Ferrari could take it. If it's wet, McLaren.
All right, thank you very much for your call, Flipster. Appreciate you taking the time, and hopefully we'll speak to you again sometime soon.
Yeah, sure.
As well as taking live Skype calls today, we've actually got two wonderful voicemails. And they're wonderful because they're called in from two fans who are attending the race today. And the first one we have is from Sasha, who joined us in the live comments and who was sitting at turn one and gave us loads of information on what was going on live from the track. And then phoned in a voicemail to tell us what it was like and what the experience was. Felt like being there.
Hi, this is Sasha. I've just left the Singapore F1 and I just wanted to give a quick update and impression of how it went. Obviously, I was incredibly fortunate to be able to be there in person. First time I've ever been at a Formula One event. Thoroughly enjoyed it. The track setup was incredible. To see the track at night was like nothing else you could imagine. In fact, it sparkled, is the best way to describe it. The lighting was so clear. Delighted with the Renault's win. I'm a big Renault fan, so it was a huge thing. Alonso's win was quite spectacular, in fact. Personally speaking, of course, delighted. Lewis's third was great and really consolidates his position at the top of the championship. Enjoyed trying to give as much information as I could during the race on the comments. The excitement got to fever pitch in the audience as the race developed. Great fun, and if anybody is thinking about ever coming to Singapore to see a Formula One, I can highly recommend it. It's worth coming to. I think a little bit of criticism will be fair enough at the some of the marshals and some of the organisation at the event, but I'm no doubt that the Singaporeans will fix this for the next race. Thanks very much.
What a race to attend as your first ever Formula One race. Where was your first ever Formula One race?
Silverstone.
Silverstone.
It was a bit wet.
Seems like a bit of a disappointment
compared
to that one. Ollie said, totally cool having somebody at the race live commenting. That's really good. On the ground. I have no idea. Presumably there's some kind of 3G modem and a laptop.
Well, that's what we did, Silverstone. Yeah.
I don't know. But so much appreciation goes out to Sasha for that. Because
and for calling in.
Yeah. Again, brilliant. Very, very, very much appreciated. You cannot believe how much we do appreciate that. And just to have someone who was there and really just to communicate that vibe. And on top of Sasha, also Junior, who promised, he was on the show a couple of weeks ago, he promised to phone in a voicemail. He was attending the race today as well. And I believe he's done that. And he should be queued up any second now.
Hi, guys. This is Junior. Good evening from Singapore. Just came from the racetrack. It was a great, great race. Hats off to the Singapore organizers. They really did everything well. There were a few minor hiccups in terms of moving the people around, and especially at the end of the day. But otherwise, it's a great, great app. Everything went off without a hitch. I'm really impressed on my end. Moving on to the race, a brilliant performance from Alonso. Came from 15th on the grid. His luck was very similar, actually, to what Piquet got back in Germany. A bit ironic that it was Piquet's accident that brought out the safety car, which paved the way for Alonso's win. It's the farthest back win, actually, since, I think, Kimi. Yeah, Kimi in 2005 in Suzuka in Japan. So really impressive from Alonso. Not quite a true win on pace, but hopefully a better sign for Renault for 2009 and beyond. Also, great job for Nico Rosberg, first podium since Australia. I'm really impressed with his maturity. Have to admit, though, I was hoping he would be a bit more aggressive in chasing Alonso, but I guess he was more concerned with holding off Lewis for a second, so well done to him there. Lewis Hamilton, not quite able to get the win, but third place is third place, extends his lead in the Drivers' Championship, and he also gives McLaren the Constructors' Championship lead now with 3 rounds to go. So good on Lewis, although I think most of the Lewis fans that were surrounding us were a bit disappointed that he didn't quite get the win. But he's still better off than me and many of the other Ferrari fans. Ferrari, first and third on the grid, come away with nothing, 0 points. Hugely, hugely disappointed for them. And you got to say, it's their own fault. There's still 3 rounds to go. Hopefully they'll be able to bounce back, but they'll need less and less of these kinds of errors if they want to win back the title. Or to successfully defend their championship. So basically, that's it. Next big project for me is in around 189 days' time, going to Sepang, Malaysian Grand Prix 2009. That should be great, especially if it pushes through to be the second Grand Prix held under the lights. Great experience, truly, truly unforgettable. Hope you guys enjoyed the race on TV. That's it. Thanks. Cheers.
What a voicemail. What a guy.
I do like that he's counting down to the next Grand Prix already.
He's a bit of a jet
180 something days.
There's no stopping him now. Stephen Roy just pointed out in the comments that Sasha was actually using a PDA at the race. Something we've not used, not tried before.
No.
And also, Journey made mention of 5 Live there, so I'm assuming he was using Kangaroo TV.
Right.
And listening to 5 Live at the race.
The commentary over there.
So it's a small world. But thank you for ringing in, Journey. Thank you for ringing in, Sasha. Made my day, those voicemails. On top of it, such an excellent day. It was a brilliant day. It was a brilliant win from Alonso. I'm so happy and so chuffed. And I really just, what a great weekend. Great racetrack, great racing, perfect weekend.
Fantasy Racers.
In fifth place, we have NG Racing with 6942. In fourth is Late Apex with 6944. Third is Canic F1 with 6980. Second is Scuderia Bigotes with 6994. And in first place, Jordan F1 with 7134. My team were good.
Yes. Woot.
That's never happened.
With the most peculiar strategy of all time, explain to me which drivers you picked and why.
All my strategies are peculiar, but this week I was really enjoying the battle for fourth place in the Constructors' Championship, so I picked both Renault drivers and both Toyota drivers.
Right.
So I had Alonso and Glock, who both did okay. And then I had Piquet and Trulli, who both retired.
Right.
But I still managed to get 500-something points, 513, something like that, which is my best points haul ever.
Great.
And I'm really good. So I've moved up to 118th in the league from about 126th.
And where am I?
You are 82nd. You had 414 points this race, which is, you know, really moderate.
I'm slightly annoyed.
Not as good as me, though.
No, well, apparently ever since I've taken Alonso out of my team, he's gone better and better and better.
You took Alonso out and he's got better.
I swapped Alonso for Button. That was a wise decision.
Well, Button's got better too.
He was so close, though. Button was so close to that point.
Because 1 point is the same as 10.
Oh, shush. Have you got any more stats for us on Fantasy Races?
I do know that Side Podcast is the top league once again. We
made
the private
it back.
Leagues, yes. We've made it back by 26 points.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you to everybody in the top five.
The people in the top.
All of the work. I believe Jordan Allen had a stellar week this week. And he's helped bring us right the way back up. We're back on top again.
I told him to get on with it last week, and he did.
He did the business. Thank you, Jordan, and thank you to everybody in the top five. Obviously, you've just read them out, so no need to read them out again. But thank you to all of those people.
Doing the work because we can't.
Well, yeah, we're out of it.
Yeah. The only other thing, because I haven't had time to do the usual who's gone up, who's gone down, etc. So the only other thing I noticed was that we have a new team and it's called Too Late to Beat Christine? And they scored... Yeah.
That's an optimistic... There's only, with four races remaining?
Yeah, and they scored about 400-ish points in this race. So.
I admire that confidence.
They can have a good go. Probably not going to get near me, though. Feedback. I've had a couple of emails this week. The first one is from RG, who's given us some great stats post Singapore. So it says, "Hey all, after watching the Singapore Grand Prix, I began thinking of some trivia and I'll share with you some that I found. Nick Heidfeld is the only driver to have finished in every race." I'm assuming that means this year, which is an amazing fact.
That is a great statistic, yep.
"Singapore was the first time since Monaco 2006 that Williams got two drivers in the top 10 of qualifying. However, the last time they both finished in the top 10 in a race was the British Grand Prix this year."
Okay. So they did great in qualifying and pretty good in the race. And really, you've got to give a shout out to Kazuki Nakajima because he kept his nose clean. He finished the race on the same nose that he started it with.
9 teams out of the 11 that have taken part this season have got at least one podium this season. That's amazing.
That is amazing. Stephen Roy just in the comments pointed out that Heidfeld has actually set a record for consecutive finishes today as well.
Excellent.
Even more stats coming in. You got anything else?
Lewis Hamilton, since the start of his F1 career, has averaged a win every 4 races.
Right.
His title rival, Felipe Massa, averages a win every 10.3 races.
Ooh.
Toro Rosso has scored 3 times as many points as the combined total in 2006 and 2007. RG finishes, "I think that should be all for now. All I have to say is that the light system at Ferrari is a complete failure and lollipop men do not work. So to liven things up a bit, the drivers should refuel. Means no driving away when the fuel hose is still attached."
Yes, the only...
They'd have to get in and out.
The problem with that is this race barely finished today.
Yeah.
Such was the length of it. If drivers were getting out of their car and refueling it themselves, they would never, ever finish.
See, the problem with that is you'd have to shrink it to about 10 laps and then they wouldn't need to. My second email this week was from Barry. He said, "Christine, I'm a new Side Podcast listener and I think you have a great website and show. I enjoy hearing the British point of view and your knowledge of the goings-on because you have so much more access to F1 news than we do here in the USA. I don't get the channel that broadcasts F1 in the USA, so it was a delight to finally watch the race on the internet. Thank you so much. Please keep it up so I can look forward to seeing more races. Regards, Barry."
I'm glad that Barry brought that up because we had a new revelation, in live commenting this week.
I can't believe we haven't thought of this before.
It's so blindingly obvious. It's we're just stupid for not thinking of it in the past. Every time, or pretty much within every commenting session we ever have, someone will come along who's joined it halfway through the session and say, "Oh, by the way, is there a live video?" And we go, "Yeah."
"Is there a stream anywhere?
Is there a stream anywhere? Here's the stream." And then another person will come along 10 minutes later, "And we've got a live video." And you, "Yeah, here's the stream." And it takes up about 30 or 40 comments in any session. So what we've done, a revolutionary feature, you know, hit the nail on the head, put the live stream in the post.
It's called embedding a video. Ever heard of that before? It's amazing.
We've been doing it for about 10 years and we've just discovered the concept of embedding somebody else's video in our page. So nowadays, if you're coming onto the live commenting live thing, if you join us through any of the sessions, we should, if a stream is available, if we know of anywhere you can watch the internet, anywhere you can watch Formula One on the internet, anywhere in the world, so it's not restricted just to people in the UK in the same way that ITV is, streams that work throughout the world, we will embed them in the post, and we'll keep them up to date. So as one stream dies and falls away, we'll put another one on. And in theory, nobody should ever come along and say, have you got a live stream? Because it should be right there in their face. It'll autoplay and they can't miss it.
That's it for this show. There's no Grand Prix next week, and I don't think I'm going to do a show either.
No, you're doing a mini series.
Oh, don't be awkward. You always spoil it.
Yeah, don't be awkward. You're not going to tell us what it is.
Nope.
No doubt. We'll have to play the guessing game. Is it going to be Wednesday or is it going to be Thursday? It's going to start Wednesday. Would make more sense, wouldn't it? Another mini series from you. So there'll be no live show next week.
No.
There'll be no podcast, no F1 debrief next week at all. Just a mini series from you, and I think we've got some technical updates.
What do you mean just a mini series?
Oh, I'm sorry. Not just a mini series. A wonderful mini series from you. But always look forward to those.
It allows us time to work on some things.
Other bits to come on the website, so no doubt there'll be some improvements left, right, and centre as they happen. And then we'll return for Fuji. Which is going to be small hours in the morning.
Yes. Which means there won't be a parade lap either.
No, because there won't be any listeners. We'll be talking to ourselves. So that won't happen, but that's fine. There'll be, I think it's something like 2 o'clock in the morning, free practice live commenting will start. We'll be up and we'll be back for all the live commenting sessions. Because we're that dedicated and that obsessed. I mean, you wouldn't want to miss one now, would you? We haven't missed one all year. So that's what we're going to be doing.
Yep.
That's it for Singapore. Best Formula One race in the calendar?
Yes.
I think so. Best organised, slight faux pas on the Marshall front. Generally, the best organised race. It kicked Valencia's backside, didn't it?